Please take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Don't forget that next Sunday evening, Brother Chase Reynolds will be here, he and his family. And also, we will have our youth offering next Sunday evening. All right, let's continue on with our study of living by faith. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read verse 28 this evening. And it says, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening. Bless the reading of your word. And I pray that you would bless the remainder of our services. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Brad, are we okay with the screens? Okay. All right. There we go. I was like, I don't remember doing that one. It's okay. Gotcha. Living by faith, the Passover. When it says here that, verse 28, through faith, he kept the Passover, that is referring to Moses. Last time we were in the study, we saw where Moses gave up the life of luxury to live a better life for the Lord. Today, we will examine the event that led to the freedom of the Hebrew slaves. Now, don't forget, at the 1st of April, we'll actually be, April the 1st is Easter this year. And we'll do our Passover celebration on the Tuesday before Easter. So that's the last Tuesday of March. So go and put it on your calendars. That's when we're going to do it, that Tuesday night. All that being said, we'll do another lesson, a more detailed lesson of Passover around that time and leading up to it so that we understand more about it. But this is going to kind of give you the Cliff Notes version, I guess you could say. For those of you who are not college students or didn't go to college, that means the basics of what Passover was all about. Everyone, please turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Excuse me. Begin reading in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, excuse me, in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden, that means boiled, at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. That's the entrails. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. My first point this evening is the background of the Passover. The background of the Passover. Now, nine plagues had been inflicted upon the Egyptians without effect. The nine plagues that had happened to the Egyptians were the water turned into blood, frogs, lice, the death of cattle, boils, hail, locusts, and darkness. God had plagued Egypt with all these plagues. And man, some of those times, Pharaoh even said, "Please stop, no more. You can go free." And they got ready to leave, and Pharaoh's heart changed. His pride took over. And he said, "You will not leave. You are still our slaves." So God said, "Fine, here's another plague." Now I'm going to give you an analogy that we use here in the South that most people in the world wouldn't get. But it's almost like God said, "Fine, here's another plague. How you like them apples?" And I've found that a lot of northern people don't understand our analogies down here. Sometimes I don't think we understand our own analogies. Like stem winder. I mean, just, yeah, that one. No. We all understand that God was trying to tell Pharaoh, "You better let my people go or you will regret it." So then the Lord, in this final plague, directed Moses to announce to the people, of course that is the Hebrew people, that the 10th plague and the final plague would overcome all the obstacles to the Egyptians to allow the departure of Israel. This would be the destruction of all the firstborn throughout Egypt. That included beast and it included man. In fact, God told him here that, let me find it. Verse 12 of Exodus chapter 12. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." You know, when you read that, I want you to understand something. First of all, who was going to do that night? Who was? Y'all tell me. God. God, it says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night." You know, there are a lot of people that believe an angel came. Oh, yeah. Movies will show it. Plays will show it. And other Bible versions will say it as well. But no, the wording that's correct is that God Himself would come that night and destroy all their firstborn. But also notice here, it says in the latter part of verse 12, "And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment." In Egyptian mythology, all of their gods and goddesses were half human and half some other type of beast. And of course, by that beast, they would have control of whatever beast that they were half of. Osiris, one of their gods of the Nile, was half man and another kind of half bird of some type. God is proving that their gods have no power because they're nothing. And when God comes and kills the firstborn of all the beasts, that includes every beast, no matter if it's cattle, horse, a bird. It didn't matter if it was the firstborn of a beast. It died that night. And then he said, and the firstborn of man. Can you imagine the great cry that was heard throughout Egypt that night? I mean, they've already pretty much been left with nothing but their most valuable possessions will soon be taken away, their lives and their families' lives, on top of the massacre of all the dead animals around them. You see, God did this so that the people of Egypt would know that He is God. These gods and goddesses they worship are nothing. Only He is God. He's the one and only true God, and Jehovah is His name. So, as a result, God instructed Moses to tell the Israelites to begin a new festival called the Passover that they would begin in honor from then on. The word Passover in Hebrew comes from the word Pesach or Pesach. This word means to step or leap over. Hence, Passover. They would take the blood of a lamb and put it on the post of the house so that God would pass over them during the plague. And from then on out, what they would do with that lamb is that they'd have one lamb, the Passover lamb, that was taken to the altar in the courtyard. They cut its throat. They collected the blood. And they sacrificed it there on the altar. And they took that cup of blood or that bowl of blood. And the high priest took it in there and put it upon and then the Holy of Holies in the Ark of the Covenant to atone for their sins. Let me tell y'all, that was very important. We'll get to that in just a minute. All right? But everybody else in their household would come with that Passover lamb each year to the temple, the tabernacle. And they'd cut its throat. And the priest would make sure everything was right about it before they cut its throat. They'd do all that, had to go through, and then they would take that lamb home and they'd eat it that night. And whatever's left over, they brought it back and burned it there the next day on the altar. That was important too. We'll get to that in just a minute. You see, the requirements here now for the Passover is that number one, you had to have a male lamb or a male kid. What's a kid? It's a goat. The baby goat. So it was a baby sheep or a baby goat. It had to be a male. And it had to be without blemish. Kept under special care. Without breaking a bone, it was roasted with its entrails and eaten along with other Passover items. When this guy that we're getting this lamb from here for Passover drove by his field today. Man, he's got lots of lambs out there. And I saw a couple of sheep that were expecting. I was like, uh-huh, one of y'all is going to have that next lamb we're going to have. You know? And this guy, he knows his stuff. He said, yeah, you've got to have it what's just under or within a year old. And that's another thing. It had to be within a year old. And he's going to take special care of it for us. So it's taken apart, fed properly, so that it's the best of the best. Which is exactly what they did. It was almost like a pet for some people, in all seriousness. Now, I know that breaks some of y'all's hearts to think about that. But because they would have taken it out of the fields to make sure it didn't get hurt. and that it stayed spotless and it stayed without blemish and it was healthy, and that it was taken extra care to have food that would be perfect, pretty much. Well, then you have the size of the lamb. If a family was too small to eat it, they would gather with other neighbors or friends or other family members to share in that Passover lamb. And of course, any remains left over the next morning were to be burned. The next thing for the Passover meal is that you had to have unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Now, if we can equate anything that's even similar in our culture, it might be a tortilla. All right? It might be. And I appreciate people like Sister Pat who makes that unleavened bread for when we do our Lord's Supper. Because I've had this kind you buy, and it's good and crunchy, you know. But the fresh kind is pretty good. The Hebrew people, they eat now what's called matzah. Matzah. And it's pretty much a cracker, but it has no leaven, no yeast, no baking product in it. And we were going to make it for Passover, but I've got a great deal I want to tell you all about. Somebody was so nice and heard that we were doing that, and they donated 3 cases of that stuff for us. You're like, what are we going to do with all that? Well, you can do a lot of things with it. but anyway, they had the unleavened bread. And the unleavened bread there, it symbolized the purity of God. No sin was there. And that He would sustain them through Himself. And then there were bitter herbs. Now, it's hard to know exactly what they would have eaten, but there's you have to eat whatever is bitter in your own culture to equivalent. We would probably do something like celery leaves, cilantro, and other leaves like that. Yeah, they don't taste too good by themselves, but that's the whole point. The whole point was to show the bitterness of the slavery that they were in, but the symbolism it went into is the bondage of the slavery of sin. You see, sin looks good, but it sure doesn't taste good. Y'all, if people really knew how sin felt and looked and tasted, well, not looked, how it felt and how it tasted, they wouldn't do it. But oh, it looks good. It's so pleasing to the eyes, pleasing to the senses, but it sure is bitter in the end. And that's what those bitter herbs represent. Later on, other items were added, such as the grape juice. And of course, Jesus equated that to His blood, and how it would, through His blood, would give us life. Then later on, salt water was added, and then another item called charosis, which is basically apple tarts, which resembled the mortar of the bricks that they used. My next point is the reason for the Passover. The reason for the Passover. Now, this is where it gets really important. The Passover was the first festival ever that God instructed His people to keep. This would be an object lesson for them. I appreciate the teachers who take the time and their Sunday school lessons to make object lessons. I know that Sister Charlotte, that's really her passion, is making object lessons. People learn a lot from those. For example, today in Sunday school with Miss Tiffany and with little McKenna, they talked about Moses and the burning bush, and there was an object lesson where they, if she didn't tell you, McKenna, I'm going to tell you, okay? Where you soak some cotton balls in a bunch of rubbing alcohol, and you set it on fire, and the fire will burn, but those cotton balls won't burn. You know, but it made the application of that bush burned, but it was not on fire, you know. And so this would be a great object lesson so that the Hebrew people would know and apply it to God and learn more about God as a result. Well, this makes absolute sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 declares unto us, for the Jews require a sign. I'm sorry, that's not right. That's my fault. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll get it right. I'll get it right, for y'all can get it right. How about that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Verse 22, I was off one verse. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 1:22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's verse 22. See there, the Jews require a sign. Throughout their whole history, they need to learn by example. And they were so, I don't want to say spoiled, but they were used to it so much, that they told Jesus, well, give us a sign. Jesus was like, I've already been giving you signs, but you haven't been learning from them. You haven't been paying attention from them. Even here with this example of Passover, how it was very clear on what they were supposed to do and learn from it, all they were doing was just going through the motions. And they still do the same thing today. But the whole reason for the Passover was to remind them of this final plague. The plague of the death of the firstborn was the whole reason that the Passover was instituted. Number one, God wanted to prove to His people and to us that when we obey Him, His judgment will pass over us. He also proved to them and to us that He would protect those who obey Him. I guess it's possible that there might have been some stubborn Jews even then, Hebrew people, where they would have gone out and said, you know what? I'm not going to do that. That's too gross. That's just too bad. I am not going to put blood on the door of my house. I am not going to sacrifice a lamb. Well, guess what? They died. Well, excuse me, the firstborn in their house died. That's what happened. That's what would have happened. But isn't it amazing that when all the Egyptians woke up the next morning and crying and wailing, seeing all the death of their firstborns, they went to Goshen, the land of the Hebrew slaves. And theirs did not die, because their God, the one, only true God, had told them what to do to escape death that night. My last point this evening is the application of the Passover. The application of the Passover. The whole purpose of the Passover pointed to Jesus. Every bit of it. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 19 and verse 36, for these things were done that the Scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. Jesus was our Passover lamb. It is through His blood that we are saved today. And y'all, when we apply the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, to our hearts, we will escape spiritual death. He will pass over us. There's an old song we see. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But y'all, as it tells us here in Hebrews chapter 11, through faith, they did the Passover. That was brand new to them. Oh, they knew probably a little bit about sacrificing animals, but they'd never done anything like this in all their lives. But God said, if you don't do this one thing, you're going to suffer because of it. Well, y'all, that message hasn't changed. If you don't do this one thing, put the blood of Jesus Christ on the doorpost of your heart. If you don't believe the blood of Jesus can save you, then when death comes, you're not going to be able to escape it. That is the one only way you're going to be able to do it. I wonder what the Egyptians thought when they saw that mess. blood all over the doorposts of their homes. They probably thought, that's an odd thing to do. That's pretty nasty. You know what? Life is in the blood. Scientists are still trying to figure out life. They really are. You say, well, life is any celled organism, plant or beast. If that is the case, then why do we strive to kill off bacteria that invades our body? They're considered life, according to science. We're not going to eat any kind of animal that's destroying life. Believe it or not, our bodies are designed to eat meat. They are. And it's designed to eat other things too. That's what's so unique about the human body. God made us be able to do that. Well, we can't eat the plants because they provide us oxygen and so on and so forth. Well, believe it or not, God made that for us too. So what is life? Life is in the blood. That's why God showed it to by the sacrifice of those animals, their blood, to point to Jesus Christ and His blood that would save us. That takes faith. That takes faith. When you try to talk to someone about the Lord and about salvation, they may not fully understand at first, but you keep on presenting the Word of God to them, the Holy Spirit will work on their hearts. Who finally said, you know what, I don't completely understand all of it, but I have enough faith, Lord, that I know that I trust you, Lord, that you're going to keep your part. And then they're saved, and then all becomes clear. Because for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. See, because we're saved, we understand it. Because people are lost, they don't quite understand it. But whenever they have faith, and they're saved by grace through faith, they then fully understand at that moment when they're saved. My prayer is this evening is that each and every one of you here are saved. And that you have believed in the blood of Jesus Christ long ago. But if you're here and there's any doubt in your mind, today is the day of salvation. The blood that Jesus did so long ago still saves today. There's still power in the blood. In the precious blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that if you're saved here this evening, you know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. I hope and pray that you're thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ and what He did for us. Let's all bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you would now bless this time of invitation. We thank you so much for your word and for the sacrifice that you did on Calvary's cross. And even though, Lord, we did not deserve not one drop of blood that you shed, Lord, thank you for doing that because there was no other way at all, Lord. Thank you so much for your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. What shall we sing, Brother?